It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Again. What's this hopping mad about what happened Saturday pregame in Colorado? Welcome back. Hour number two, Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Our baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The irony is the Rockies probably would have been happier. Like, if you're Rockies management, you're going, I would be happy winning one game this weekend against the Padres. Just make it Saturday when we actually have a huge,
huge crowd,
sellout crowd at Coors Field. The other 2 days, no one was there, and the Rockies beat the Padres. But the night where they actually had people in the stands, which is a rarity there at Coors Field, they lose 8-3. But they were all there, not for the game. They were there for the pregame ceremonies inducting Todd Helton into the Rockies Hall of Fame, and that's what had Woods up in arms because of, how long it took to get that done.
5:10 start turns into a 5:30 start, 5:35 start. Like, that's, you have a pregame ceremony, which is great. That's fine, man. A lot of teams do it. We've done it a million times. How many pregame ceremonies have you seen on the field at Petco Park? But they have the respect to stick to guys' routine and the time of the game. And Dylan Cease is sitting there again for like the third or fourth start in a row now, rotting, waiting to go out and pitch. You know, he had the rain, he had all that stuff. I thought it was a pretty Bush League move. And you got Peyton Manning out there telling stories. And, bro, wrap it up.
So the reality lies a little bit in between, because I was curious as well. It's a 5:10 start, and I tuned into my radio. And, you know, these things run like clockwork. If you ever listen to a Padres pregame show, they get it to Jesse and Tony almost exactly 10 minutes before the first pitch. So usually Sammy wraps it up about 13 minutes before the first pitch. There's a break, and then they come back. They have an opening segment. They break. They do lineups. They break. They come back, first pitch.
Yeah.
So it was already 5:07, and Braden's still talking, and I go, what is going on? Is there a rain delay? I didn't understand. So I texted Adam, and I go, what's the deal? He said, well, it says 5:10, but they told everybody it's going to be 5:20. It was unannounced, but the Padres knew it. The Rockies knew it. It was going to run over, and they said, prepare yourself for 5:20. So Dylan Cease knew that. Now, it ended up being, as you said, another
10 to 15 minutes
after that. Yeah. And that's
the game before was 5:40. Why don't you just call it a 5:40 start and then start it at 5:40?
That's where you can complain a little bit. They planned for it to go over, just not that far over.
I was trying to find, I'm like, wait, when did they actually start? This is 5:28 and it still hasn't even started.
Looks like Todd Helton has concluded his remarks here at Coors Field, again being honored by the Rockies after his induction into the National Baseball.
5:28. Yeah. So they still had another five minutes.
Ugh. Didn't really affect Dylan Cease.
No.
He came out through five shutout innings.
He had to deal with that rain delay last
week.
Yeah,
he's been delayed. Like, the last four or five starts he's had, there's been something funky that's gone on with Dylan Cease. So, yeah, he was good, man. He had five walks, though, which is not great. You don't want that. But, again, you know, in that environment, the way the ball moves, the way the ball you know, doesn't move in certain cases. You take it. You he was dominant. He's nasty. He's got nasty stuff. And then, you know, the bullpen combo was pretty elite that day. Ben Morihone, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott, Jeremiah Estrada was incredible in the night there. So yeah, got you know, as we say about Manny, man, as Manny goes, the team seems to go from time to time. So he had a monster day, 4-for-4, double. Crony, Campy, Bryce Johnson knocked in two. Campy had the only homer of the game. Hassan Kim had a double. I mean, it was a curb stomping by the Padres that night.
Yeah,
that was
it
fun.
Was. They hit Kyle Freeland well, so the lefty thing not too big of a problem. They've hit him fairly well in the last couple of years.
He hates seeing Manny Machado get up there, dude.
Yeah. Woo. What was interesting though is that Mike Schilt decided to give both Luis Arraez and Jackson Merrill.
Yeah.
The day off at the same time. Merrill hadn't had one. I can't remember
the last one.
Arraez occasionally gets one dealing with the thumb and going up against, you know, tough lefties. But having both of those guys out really did show off the Padres' depth, which has been outstanding this year.
It has been.
Even though Tyler Wade and Bryce Johnson may simply be guys at the end of the 26-man roster, they've both come through in a number of situations for the San Diego Padres. Luis Camposano, who's become kind of more the backup catcher than the starter, doing well in that role, though. Whether, you know, it's kind of 40% of the playing time, but he's come through and played pretty decently here in the second half of the season. So the Padres have had that good bench depth that has really allowed them to go on this run of 20-6 since the All-Star break, because they still are committed to wanting to get their guys, you know, days off from time to time. They don't have to go with the starters every day. Remember, Bob Melvin just never felt like he could give anybody a day off last year.
Couldn't. Yeah.
Because they just never could get it going.
And
they didn't have any bench. It was not a deep team last year.
No,
remember,
bench.
When you took out the starters, you were
done.
The drop-off was enormous.
It was massive. It really was. And who would have thunk it? You know, the Donovan Solano, David Peralta. And I, you know what else, man? Just a small little thing about Mike Schilt and the Padres is that you would think, all right, well, lefty on the bump, got to give Peralta a blow. As I think on Friday night, too, he kind of came up hobbling again, as he does. He's an older guy, right? But he owns Kyle Freeland. He absolutely owns him. And Schilt's like, I'm not taking him out. I'm going to give the kid a day off. And he did. And it's nice to get these guys a little bit of a mental reset. We won the Manny game last week when Manny didn't play at all. Solano played third. Didn't get any hits, but played really good defense. So really great to be able to give guys days off and get a dub.
We need a contestant for Take on Woods. If you want to play, chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas, give us a call now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Phone lines are wide open, so you can hop in and play our game here in a couple of minutes. Now, I do want to bring up Arraez, because maybe, you know, the people who just like to complain about something have not had a real opportunity to do so about your San Diego Padres for a few weeks. And losing 2 out of 3... he came out of the woodwork yesterday, at least on my Twitter mentions. And the people who really say Luis Arraez doesn't bring that much value to the team were out in force yesterday after he went 0-for, you know, was not setting the table at the top of the Padres lineup, and have pointed out the fact that his wins above replacement, you know, that value, that metric is pretty low for Luis Arraez. The batting average remains top of the National League, but the rest of the package, you know, you can make the argument that he's not bringing a ton to the table elsewhere. And they use that opportunity of Arraez going 0-for yesterday to go, there needs to be a better solution there. Arraez is not our guy. They're not ready to commit to him long term as a guy. We talked about him last week.
But what are we
why we felt that he is valuable, even though those metrics don't necessarily shine for Luis Arraez.
What are we worried about committing to him long term on August 18th? You know, what is your?
Well, I think they even short term want him out of the lineup.
All right. Well, I mean, that's not going to happen. But, nor should it happen. It shouldn't happen. Guys take offers. It happens. Baseball's hard. Hitting is hard, right? And hitting is really hard when you have a torn ligament in your thumb.
And there is an argument to be like, is there a way to get him a little healthier for the stretch run? Does that involve sitting him down?
You got him a day off the day.
One day off. Does he need a 10-day stint? Does he need more time off than one? Will that do any good at all? Or will he just come back and the thumb will be exactly the same after 10 days?
I mean, I have no idea.
You've got Donovan Solano sitting there. You can get into the lineup a little more regularly. He's performed outstanding when he's been in there. I'm not saying that there's no merit or no meat to the argument, but I do think it's fairly recent to just go and say,
at the end of the day,
Luis Arraez isn't getting the job done for the Padres.
It's at the end of the day, if you're a designated hitter and you don't get any hits, you didn't do your job that day, right? And when you're the best in maybe the, let's call him the second, third, whatever you want to say, contact hitter in baseball, and you don't get any knocks, you didn't really help your team win, right? I mean, if you're a designated hitter and you don't get any hits, then you didn't really help your team win. But
smoked one down the right field line. Nice defensive play by the Rockies. Why do they make all the nice defensive plays against the Padres? I have no idea.
Like a terrible defensive team, except when we're in town. They really get out. Some people will call
it. That could have been a big inning. If that one falls in, because there's already Higgy was already on, wasn't he?
Yeah,
so that could have been a big inning there.
Some call it their World Series, the Rockies against the San Diego Padres. And man, they're winning. They've won the World Series.
So I saw your Arraez tweets. I don't necessarily agree with them, but I thought, all right, to be fair, I'll bring up this is what a certain segment of the Padres fan base is talking about right now.
Well, I mean, listen, man, somebody's in the gallows every single day, whether it's Ha-Seong Kim, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts. I saw some jerks in Profar slander yesterday. I saw some Luis Arraez. This is who we got. These are the guys that we got right now.
How can anyone possibly slander jerks in Profar's 2024 campaign in any way?
I know. It's
in any way. $1 million.
NFL fans, I think.
He'll get MVP votes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a team effort, man. You win as a team, you lose as a team. It's going to happen. But it is
a hair off lately. Jerickson's bench. It's a hair off.
It's jarring. It's jarring when Luis Arraez takes an 0-for. And that means you're a pretty good hitter. If an 0-for-4, which comes standard with so many players, because it's really hard. Yeah, if an 0-for-4 comes, it is a little bit jarring when it happens to Luis.
All right, you ready to play today's game?
I'm ready.
A Monday edition of Take on Wood starts right now.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And we got Kevin as our contestant today. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
All right, Woods has left the studio. You go first. If you beat or tie him, we'll put you into the drawing for the two-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas and tickets to the Carrie Underwood Residency Reflection at Resorts World Theater. Get your seats now at AXS.com and RWLasVegas.com. Here are your categories. Still sitting there, maybe forever. Sprechen Sie Deutsch, German-related songs and bands. We've got 24-hour bands, which are bands with time of day in their name. And this one, and I promise, I already had this one in the hopper before we were talking about them last week. Huey Lewis and the News, a category all about Huey Lewis. So Sprechen Sie Deutsch, 24-hour bands, or Huey Lewis and the News, Kevin?
Ooh, that's tough. Let's go 24-hour bands.
24-hour bands. All right, today on Take on Woods, we're looking for five different bands that each have a time of day in their name. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many of the five as possible. First question's our two-second song. Paulie's going to play the music. You need to identify the song title and that band with a time of day and their name to score that point. Kevin, are you ready to play?
Okay.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Again, the category is 24-hour bands. Kevin, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine?
I use Green Day. Oh, what's the song title?
You can pass.
Pass for now.
Which 80s California rockers are best known for their power ballad, Sister Christian?
Wow, when you're in this, you just
have
great parts. Pass, okay.
Formed in 1967, which rock band's most famous song is Joy to the World, the one that starts with the line, Jeremiah was a bullfrog? Which 21st century band features a psychedelic mix of rock and country? Singer Jim James recorded the vocals for their 2001 album At Dawn in a grain silo to create a trademarky echoey sound.
I know nothing. I lose that.
That's all right. Which Australian band has a worldwide hit on their hands with their 1987 song, Beds Are Burning? It's tough. This is a tough category. Oh, that's
that
too bad.
A goose egg.
The song title, you had Green Day, was Basket Case, Night Ranger, Three Dog Night, My Morning Jacket, that was a tough one, and Midnight Oil is Beds Are Burning. I wonder how Woodsy's going to do here. I mean, I'm sure he's going to win, but curious in a tough category. All right, Woods, start your week out here. Reset everything. Put 60 seconds back on the clock. Woods, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Kevin.
Do you have the time?
It's a Green Day.
What's
the name of the song? Pass.
Which 80s California rocker is best known for their power ballad Sister Christian?
Night Ranger.
Correct. Formed in 1967, which rock band's most famous song is Joy to the World? The one that starts with the line...
Three Dark Night?
Correct. Which 21st century band features a psychedelic mix of rock and country? Singer Jim James recorded the vocals for their 2000...
My Morning Jacket.
Correct. Which Australian band had a worldwide hit on their hands with their 1987 song Beds Are Burning?
Midnight Oil?
Correct. Go back to our 2 second song.
Do you have the time to listen to
me? What the hell's the name of this song? No doubt about it. Sometimes I get.
Do you have the time?
I can't remember.
Can't remember.
I can't remember the name of this stupid song.
Let's say everyone in the chat was doing the same
thing.
What is
the name of that song?
It is. Time is up. Now.
Time is...
Still have time.
Almost up now.
It's a basket case.
Basket case.
But you got four, and Kevin had a little mental block going, and ended up only getting Green Day and not the song, so you win 4-0 today.
Right.
That was 24-hour bands. Midnight, night, morning, day, night, all in the band names
tough.
There.
Tough
I was impressed. You got My Morning Jacket, Midnight Oil. Those were some tough ones, I thought.
Yeah, I just can't remember. I played that song 1,000 times. I can't remember the name of it.
Green Day's naming structure of their songs doesn't always follow with what you think that the song is going to be called.
There's a lot of bands that I love, and you're like, you don't say that in the song. You don't have to, as it turns out. So, All right.
Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We have Don't Do This is coming up next. Had a real nice do this moment yesterday
cool.
for a local San Diegan making his major league debut. A very cool moment. We'll talk about that coming up and more when we return after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'll get this one started today for Don't Do This. And by the way, before I say anything, Simone Biles is great. Unbelievable. The GOAT of gymnastics at an incredible Olympics. So this is pretty good-natured fun.
Yeah, this
for
is
Don't
just
Do This.
Some good-natured ribbing.
But as you may know, Simone Biles is married to NFL player Jonathan Owens, who switched teams in the offseason. He played for the Packers last year, but now he is with the Chicago Bears. So they had a preseason game this weekend, and Simone Biles was there attending and on the sideline. But she was wearing, and I mean, it's a really cool jacket. I mean, I don't know if she had it made or someone had it made for her, but it's Jonathan Owens, and it's got like images of him wearing his Packers jersey and Packers. It's a Packers jacket.
Right.
And Bears fans were going... You can't. The Packers are our biggest rival. You can't wear a Packers jacket on the Bears sideline, even for a preseason game. It's one of the oldest rivalries in professional sports. It's like wearing a Dodgers jacket and you know, sitting in the Padres dugout, you essentially know, Manny, during the game.
Manny played for the Dodgers for a short time, and if Yaine shows up to a game, she's like, "I was cold, and this is the only one I had." It's like, that's on you, Eric Grubner. You got to get her new gear, man. Get
her, replace that thing immediately.
Immediately,
with the Bears version.
It just can't happen.
So that's
actually not on. Now it is weird though because I think it was Jason Kelsey's wife. Jason Kelsey's wife she's an Eagles fan, and she's like.
She was an Eagles fan before Jason. She's a diehard Eagles fan.
She's like, I don't care who he plays for. He's retired now, but she's like, I do not care who he plays for. I will never not wear this Eagles jersey, which I think is, I wonder if Simone has that much allegiance to the Packers or if it was just all that she had.
A really cool jacket now that I'm
all she had in the closet. I have no idea.
But yeah, you can't do that.
That is a big, big no-no.
I mean, she's more of an individual sport person.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, she didn't wear like a Romania jacket at the Olympics or something. It's Team USA.
Right.
You're on the team, you got to support the team.
You guys may remember former NFL offensive lineman Goster Cherulis, Benny. He was the 17th overall pick in the 2008 NFL draft. He was arrested over the weekend, had some issues on a plane. This one I've not heard. He was accused of urinating on a passenger while aboard a plane. So they were heading from Boston to Ireland. They said he was unruly while on the plane. When officers arrived at Logan at 2 a.m., demanded he get off the plane after it landed. They say he became irate and uncooperative. But, you know, long flight. I imagine there was probably a couple pops had, you know, and he did that. You imagine you're sitting on a long transatlantic flight and you're relaxing in your seat and you got the light off, or maybe you're reading the latest John Grisham thriller and someone starts urinating on you. Well, that's what happened.
Well, so obviously, if you're out of control of your faculties on a flight or anywhere else, that's not good. When's the last time that you just couldn't make it to the bathroom, though?
Never.
It's never happened to you. Like, you were
and you
just,
guys know how much I go.
Yeah. You're just racing and you just like.
For number one?
Yeah.
Number one. Since I was five? Six?
Never once.
Never. I've never gotten so hammered I like. Woke
not
up
hammered.
Like,
No. Sober. Like, just.
And could just went?
Just like a little
I
bit
was
slipped
six.
Out? Never?
Number one.
Have you? Oh, no.
I've never.
Never. Since I stopped.
Like, you've been in the car, it's like been an hour, you're like racing to get up to the bathroom when you get home, like first thing you're running up there and like something happens and you just don't quite make it completely? No?
Sounds like you might have something to tell us.
No, I mean.
Never. Not number one. I mean, that's been painful. You guys have been
painful.
With me.
So painful.
I mean, I've gone on the side of the road. How many times, Paulie, have you pulled over on the side of the road?
Many.
Many?
Many.
Just curious.
Times.
Remember when we went to play Rams Hill? I was like, Ben, you got to pull in this gas tank. I'm not going to make it another 30 minutes. I had to run inside.
We're almost there.
There was a guy, I swear to God, the guy had just left there with a needle hanging out of his arm. It looked like there was doo-doo on the walls in there. I was like, this is a shooting gallery. And I had to go in there with my shirt up over my nose and go to the. But no, I've never even had a little bit of a slip up.
Just a, not even a tiny, like.
No,
tinkle?
Not a dribble.
No, not even
Did you
a
say
dribble.
Tinkle?
A tinkle. I'm just curious.
Here's the deal, though. I know it's coming. Someday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you get older.
Yeah. I go every 15 minutes. So it's terrible. It's a terrible way to live.
Literally every commercial break.
And yes, I have had my prostate checked. So that's not it. Because that's one of the signs. But so you pee your pants.
No.
I didn't say
I didn't say
today.
That.
Pants letter.
Just bullying him. Oh, look. It's P-Boy.
Just curious.
I had no idea.
Get all right.
Box of Depends.
Yeah, right?
Finally, a little doo-doo this.
DD mega doo-doo.
I had no idea.
What a cool moment on Saturday. The Oakland A's hosting the Giants in the final, by the way, final Bay Bridge series ever as the A's get ready to leave the Coliseum at the end of this season. And the A's had called up Sandiegan Eastlake, former Little League star for Eastlake High School. I covered him 11 years ago at the Little League World Series. Grant Holman, his dad was the assistant coach. Doug, one of my favorite stories to ever cover. He threw a no-hitter at that Little League World Series, taking their team to the championship game. Well, went to college, got drafted, made his way up through the A's system, and got promoted finally to make his Major League debut. And they put him in a tough spot. Mark Kotze called on him in a 2-0 game, trying to protect the lead in the, seventh inning, and then counters with a pinch hitter. And it just happens to be
crazy.
His best friend from Eastlake High School, Casey Schmidt, was his first batter that he faced in his career. And he got him out. And ended up getting a hold as the the A's went on to the 2-0 win. What are the odds though that you dream of this for years and years, and the situation just comes up absolutely that your buddy who was also drafted and made his way to the big leagues before you did with the Giants, a pinch hitter comes up. I mean,
is that done on purpose?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it was just how it works strategically. Circumstances for the game.
All right, so let's put ourselves in Grant Holman's shoes. You're already in full blackout mode. Maybe some slipped out. Maybe a little tinkle, right? Now that, if you were going to, all right, was you making a big league debut? Yeah, that would tinkle for sure. But then you see your old pal Casey Schmidt up to the plate. Better or worse for you?
I think better. Actually.
I think it would make it better. If it was like Paulie walking up there, I'd be like, okay. If he gets a knock off me, I know we're going to have a beer together after the game. You know, whatever. Like, I know this guy. I've grown up with this guy. Like,
got him to ground a second. I mean,
that's so cool.
Call it another, just a misstep by Bob Melvin. Don't make the guy comfortable by bringing in his best friend in a key situation.
Sleepy Bob at it again.
They had two runners on, tying runs on base. Go ahead, run at the plate. I mean,
you're putting his buddy
was
in?
Was a big game for the Giants. They needed that at bat. That was maybe at bat of the season right there.
God, that's cool.
And Grant Holman gets Casey Schmidt to ground out to second base.
That's really cool.
That's what a fun moment for those guys.
And a little San Diego connection for you.
And, of course, I love that. And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
I don't know that I want to, but we haven't talked about Friday night's game, the first game of that series against the Colorado Rockies, maybe the most disappointing and frustrating one of the weekend.
Can't wait.
And the one that makes you wonder about, one spot in the starting rotation going forward, I would think. So we'll talk about what happened on Friday at Coors Field as we wrap up the series and a review of the weekend that was. Coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Don't want to say we were caught off guard this morning, but I think Woodsy and I were both surprised to learn that there is actual college football coming up this week.
Yeah.
First four games of the season, including the one in Dublin, Ohio on Saturday. Not Dublin, Ohio. Dublin, Ireland on Saturday.
Here in Dublin.
Starting the college football season so early. I mean, it's not even August 20th yet, and it's a college football week.
This is the bit, man. You just move everything up. We're doing spring training next year in January or something. It's going to be pitchers and catchers report on New Year's Eve.
Christmas and the craft. Now everything is just creeping up earlier and earlier.
Dylan
Cease
is on our team for fantasy camp.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be there.
Got to get his work in. It'd be awesome.
So, yeah, football season is here. There's only one more weekend of preseason NFL games, and they get started.
Yep.
Pretty early in September here coming. So, yeah, we are on the verge of football all over the place. And it doesn't feel like fall yet, I'll say that.
No, it does not. And I'm going to stay firmly entrenched in America's pastime until football gets here. And then once baseball's over, I will dive headlong into it. But I probably not before then, to be honest.
All right, baseball question. How concerned are you about Matt Waldron in the Padres rotation? We'll talk about that and wrap up Friday's game after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, popped on Friday's game, and, tentatively, you know it's Coors Field and the Rockies, but maybe this time will be different. You always have that hope. This time is going to be different. And what happens in the top of the first inning? Padres load the bases with nobody out off Cal Quantrill. And I'm thinking,
here we go.
Here we go. The Red Hot Padres, even the Coors Field jinx, even the Rockies thing is not going to slow this team down. Are they going to score, you know, put up a big crooked number in the top of the first inning and off and running they'll be, maybe sweeping this series. Well, what happened? Strikeout, double play, did not score a run in the top of the first. And then in the bottom of the first, Matt Waldron gives up four, including a three-run homer to Brendan Rodgers, and the Padres are immediately in a 4-0 hole that they can never dig out of, going on to a 7-3 loss. And this is a concerning trend for Matt Waldron. And not necessarily unsurprising. Matt Waldron all season has had trouble in the, especially the first and second inning a little bit, but mostly the first inning has been the bugaboo for Matt Waldron. If he gets through that, he's fine. Even when he doesn't get through it, just like this start, he ends up going usually six innings or into the sixth. Even when he struggles, he finds it, he settles in, and he's usually just fine. In this case, though, it was too much, too early. Gave up another two-run shot in the second inning to Charlie Blackmon. Padres were down 6-2 at that point. Just were unable to come back, even though Waldron did end up going 5 2/3 innings. The line, pretty ugly. 9 hits, 7 earned runs. But you know, he did bounce back, give them some innings, and gave them a chance to come back. It just never did. They were unable to score any runs against the Colorado bullpen. That was kind of the hidden surprising thing about that game, that the Padres, such great late-inning hitters, and the bullpen of the Colorado Rockies, one of the worst in baseball, and the Padres couldn't get anything going those last four innings of that game, bring in any runs. So you end up with a 7-3 loss. And the question about Matt Waldron, what do you do about this guy who has been done so much for you this season, has really been a godsend when the Padres needed a pitcher in their starting rotation,
big time, man.
But has not been as strong lately and continues to struggle in that first inning. No matter what they try to do in his warm-ups, change things around, it's just been a big struggle for him to start games.
6.05 ERA in his last seven outings is not going to get the job done.
But most of that's in the first inning.
Yeah, most of it is, man. He's pitched in Coors Field, Miami, Washington, you know, places where maybe the knuckleball's not at its best. But I was DMing with a guy over the weekend about it, and I just said, man, you kind of live and die with it. You know, you just kind of live and die with it. And again, I mean, the fact that he was, if you're going to look for some bright side, the fact that he was able to give you a little bit of length, and he always gives you length, Benny, and girth, that's valuable. It's valuable. And you're going to have those games where, yep, we're down early, and yeah, we can battle back, and we've shown the ability to do that, but it's very important that we don't have to use our A arms tonight. And they didn't. They did not use their ass on Friday night, and, you know, it's the best you can do when you get down that much early is let's see if we can battle back and let's not go crazy. If we tie the score, yeah, it's time to bring that ass in. But for now, man, let's use Sean Reynolds and Yuki Matsui and save our bullpen for tomorrow. And you did. And you got to win the next day. But for Matt Waldron, I don't know. I mean, look, for me, that game kind of fell on a few different guys, but I think Manny had probably one of his worst games of the year. You rarely see him get deked at third base, and Charlie Blackmon got him. Ground ball hit right at him. Blackmon stops, and Manny goes and tags him instead of throwing the ball right through Charlie Blackmon, getting the double play, runner on third, two outs, you take your chances, right? But Manny got deked. He full-on got deked. Charlie Blackmon, Manny thought he was going to be able to tag him, then go to second, then go or go to first or whatever, and Blackmon did a great job. He's a veteran. He's been in the league.
And at that point, for 70 years. Once it happens, you just have to make sure you get the one out.
Got to make sure you get one.
It's the one you want to get. Yep. Keep the guy off third. Yep. But, yeah, he could have had an easy double play.
Double play. One he turns in his sleep. One that he turns 99 out of 100 times. And then, you know, obviously left a very small village on base that night as well. So not his greatest game, certainly. They did try to claw back into it. But again, it's one of those games they'd never admit it, but they absolutely punted that game and were able to use, you know, some lower leverage guys and save the big arms for the next night. And the big arms the next night came through. So.
Comments in the chat on Waldron. JD says the knuckle takes time to settle, but
you just
can't afford it. Viva Padres says, very dang concerned. Randy Vasquez puts me more at ease than Waldron at this point in the season. Jeff says, Waldron needs an opener. Dude cannot get a clean first inning. I don't know. Would that help, though?
Because
the second inning is just his first inning.
The second inning is his first inning. Right.
Is it a mental first inning thing, or is it more of a physical, it simply takes him more time to to get the knuckleball locked in. And how do you do that? I know they've tried throwing like extra pitches in his warmups, you know, to fatigue the arm a little bit more, and they think that could help the knuckleball, but is it just there's too much adrenaline in the first inning? I've heard adrenaline can be a bad thing for a pitcher, and how do you keep the adrenaline when, I mean, anyone's going to have a natural surge of adrenaline when they're going out on a major league mound for the first inning.
Well, the funny thing is the guy I was DMing with was like, I think guys have the tape on Matt Waldron. And I said, bro, he throws a knuckleball. There is no tape. There's no tape.
Plus, he then goes out and throws five more good innings right after that first inning, usually.
Right. Yeah,
they lose the tape after the first inning?
But you can watch all the tape in the world you want of a knuckleball. He doesn't know where it's going. Higgy doesn't know where it's going. It is literally you just roll the dice when you throw him out there. And there was a time this season, we wouldn't be where we are right now without Matt Waldron solidifying the rotation when we needed him the most. So I'm not going to rake the guy over the coals at all. Can the guy still get outs at the big league level? Absolutely he can get outs. But yeah, man, it's really hard playing from behind every time Matt Waldron's on the bump. But got to figure out a way to get that worked out, ironed out. You know, he's going to have another start this week at home. Hopefully it works a little bit better for him there. But yeah, man, I'm concerned. But again, with the way this team's playing, the way they've shown the ability to come back, it can't happen all the time. So you'd love to see Matt Waldron. My God, I mean, imagine him getting a clean first inning one day. That would be spectacular.
What a finish we have shaping up in Major League Baseball, not just in the NL West or the NL Wild Card race, but Jeff Passan made the point yesterday. So there will be 12 teams in the playoffs when all is said and done. Right now, if you look at the standings, just overall baseball standings, the top 12 teams are separated by just 7 games. That's from the Yankees, I believe, to the Braves. Padres, you're right there in the middle of it all. But 12 teams at this point separated by just 7 games in the standings. There's no dominant team. Everyone goes into September, essentially. If you're in the top, you know, half of baseball, you don't just feel like you have a chance to make the playoffs. You feel like, why don't we have a chance to win the World Series
Correct.
This year?
Correct.
There's no like fearsome team standing in your way. Everybody's got flaws. Everybody's got strengths. It's as wide open as it's been. We're probably not going to have a 100-game winner for the first time since 2014 in a decade. Usually there's been multiple 100-game winners. This year, the top teams are trending for about 95 this year. It's a much more balanced top of the league than we've seen in a long time.
Does anybody have a problem with that?
No.
I really don't at all. And I saw Jeff Passan's tweet over the weekend. He kind of laid this out in the expert fashion that he does. And he just basically said the best team, on pace for 95 wins. A year after a 90-win wild card team faced an 86-win wild card team in the World Series, the 2024 championship looks as up for grabs as it's been in a long time. I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. I think that's spectacular. And
Ben said something earlier. It's kind of a throwaway comment. He said, look, you know, we've been saying if you just finish the season, even at 500, that probably gets you into the playoffs. And where the Padres stand right now, that is accurate.
Yep.
But I started feeling, I'm like, am I getting a little greedy? Because when I look at at least the National League standings, the Phillies are 73-51. We are 3.5 games back from the number one seed at 70-55. I'm like, bro, screw the wild card. Like, the division's there for grabs.
The division is there.
A bye is there for grabs.
Yep, it's all
there. All it takes is one bad week from Philly, one good week from the Padres, and that could totally flip. And I'm like, am I getting a little greedy?
Or I think, you know, again, the fact that I mentioned earlier, too, we're sitting there watching what the Rays do this weekend. We're watching what the Cardinals do against the Dodgers. Did anybody on the planet think that we would be doing that? No, you thought you'd be watching the teams behind you and what they're doing. We're watching the teams ahead of us going, we have a legitimate chance.
I mean, like 2 weeks ago, we were watching the Pirates, the Giants.
That's changed.
That has changed now.
You're no longer looking in the rear view if you're the Padres. You're looking ahead and going, it's right there. We still have, what, 3 against the Dodgers? We still have 3 against the Diamondbacks? It's exciting. It's exciting, and that's why you have to weather, you know, do better than weather the storm against the Twins and the Mets. I mean, this is a big week to exert your will a little bit. So I think this is great for baseball. This is awesome, man. It's truly anybody's ballgame this year. Nobody thought it would be that way. Nobody did. Dodgers were supposed to run away with the not only the West, but with the NL. Phillies were going to give them a run, certainly. But everybody thought, all right, Dodgers, Phillies, we know it's coming. I wouldn't be so sure right now.
One of those teams will play better than the others over the last, I don't know if it'll be the Padres or the Phillies or the Dodgers. Someone's going to play well over these last,
yep,
you know, 6 weeks. And they can grab the one seed right now in the National League. This is absolutely up for grabs at this point.
This is a good thing inherently, man. This is a really good thing for baseball, in my opinion. I mean, you know, I'm not going to get in the weeds of like, well, what happens if so-and-so and so-and-so make the World Series? And there's, I don't care. I like that there's parity. Everybody wants parity in every sport, and we finally have it a little bit. And you've got some of the have-nots. You know, teams like ours that cut $90 million in payroll, absolutely making a run. You know, the Diamondbacks lost their TV deal. The Texas Rangers lost their TV deal. They did not improve their team very much, and it's cost them. The Padres have found a way to overcome, you know, yeah, it's cost them 75 prospects to get there, but oh, so what? Look where we are, right?
The Phillies are solid. They've scuffled. The Dodgers, like you just mentioned, are not the team everyone assumed they would be.
Yeah, they've been hurt. Glasnow's now out for a while. So
the American League, like I look at the Guardians, the Orioles, and the Yankees, I go, they're good.
Well,
they have their flaws, and it feels like little apples to oranges. Kind of feels like the year San Diego State basketball went to the Final Four and the championship game, like, the Blue Bloods, the powerhouses just weren't there. They were off that year.
The 2 years ago or whatever?
Two seasons ago. When they ended up, you're like,
but they beat a couple of those Blue Bloods, you know, on the way. And that's exactly what the Padres have done. They've beaten the Blue Blood Dodgers. They won the season series. So it really is.
It does feel like it's up for grabs.
It really is up for grabs.
You know, Dodgers took 2 or 3 from the Cardinals. Fine. You know, Mets took 2 or 3 from the Marlins. They probably would have liked all 3. Braves took 2 or 3 from the Angels. They probably would have liked all 3.
Yep.
Quietly, the team that had the best weekend was the Milwaukee Brewers, who swept the Cleveland Guardians.
They're
a
so
good
sneaky,
team.
Dude.
And now they're just a game behind Philly for the best record in the National League. They've been the sneakiest.
They're so sneaky under the
sly
radar.
Sly under the radar team that just refuses to go away. And obviously the worst weekend, that was the Arizona Diamondbacks, who had been playing so well, but not only get swept in Tampa, but they in heartbreaking fashion yesterday after rallying from 6-0 down only to lose it in 12. And Ketel Marte, who has been a dark horse MVP candidate, aggravated his ankle injury in the loss that he's been dealing with already. So don't know what that means for the Diamondbacks going forward, but
well, they played pretty well.
Their momentum hit a big time break this weekend in Tampa Bay.
And they have Skip's Marlins right now?
They do.
Oh, man, I love the Marlins. Let's go.
Go Marlins the next couple of days.
I'm gonna need to hear the Marlins soar before we get out of here today. Maybe come back with it at some
Scott
point.
Scott Stapp,
yeah. Come on, Marlins, make us proud.
We were big Marlins fans.
Huge.
We were always Marlins
fans, except
when they're playing the Padres, but especially big this week as they take on the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's a wide open race.
It's a blast, man. It's a blast.
The Padres missed an opportunity this weekend.
They did.
If they'd swept the Rockies, they'd be a game out from the Dodgers right now.
I don't want to talk about that.
I know.
Just keep winning ball games. All right.
All right, we'll come back. Don't forget, 8 o'clock hour, we'll dissect Adam Klug's pregame show and more coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.